Galatians chapter number 6. These are the principles so far. Number one, if God's against it, so am I. Now, these are for those of you that are interested in overcoming stubborn habits, addictions, or helping somebody. This 10 principles. Number two, every sin has it as its origins in our hearts. We got to rule our hearts. Number three, it is easier to keep the heart clean than to clean it after it has been defiled. Number four, we cannot fight a fleshly appetite by indulging in it. Number five, small compromises lead to great disasters. Number six, those who do not love the Lord will not help us serve the Lord. Got to watch your companions, your choices. Number seven, our sinful habits do hurt those who follow us. They do hurt those who follow us. Number eight, it's not possible to fight a fleshly temptation with fleshly weapons. The weapons of our warfare must be mighty through God. We've got to have God's help. Then today, it's a long one, so I'll read it here, and you have it on your sheet. We lose our freedom to choose when we give in to temptation. Our consequences are inevitable and incalculable and up to God. Just by way of definition, this word incalculable, that means you have no idea before you choose that action or behavior what the price will be for it. Okay, you have no idea. Like the basketball player we heard about, he made a choice. He did not know that the consequence of his choice would be his death. He did not calculate that. If he had calculated that, he would not have used the cocaine. Let me ask you something, incalculable. If Eve knew how much suffering she would bring into the human race up till the year 2011, you still can't stop calculating how much her sin cost. Do you think she'd have done it? Or Adam? Now, she probably thought, oh, it's just a little thing. It's not going to hurt anybody. It brought a death sentence on her, on her husband. Her first son became a cold-blooded murderer, killed her second son. Can you imagine that, having kids and one of your kids murder somebody else? And up till this year, listen, there are over 6 billion people on this planet right now that have a death sentence on them because of Adam and Eve. All the trees, all the plants are all diseased and dying because of Adam and Eve. All the animal life in the sea, all the animal life in the air, all the animal life on the lands are diseased and dying. The behavior of the animals changed because of Adam and Eve. The behavior of mankind changed because of Adam and Eve. And I'm sure she thought at that moment, it's just a little sin. It's just a little pleasure I want to indulge in. It's not going to affect anybody. But it is incalculable. The consequences of her decision. It's easy to pick on her. It's easy to pick on her. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, we have this principle of consequences. Let's read it here, if you got it, in verse 7 and 8. Would you read it out loud with me? Ready? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So this thing about consequences in verse 8 can both be negative and, praise God, positive. Now listen very carefully up here. Everything I'm saying is far more important than anything your friends next to you are saying, okay? This might just save your life, and who knows what consequences you might avoid. There are people in this room right now, adults, that wish they would have learned these principles when they were young people. Because they got involved in behavior, that they have consequences that they are still facing today because of their decisions. They would have loved to have been in a church like this when they were young. But they weren't. Now, by the way, let me just put a disclaimer in here. Please do not confuse consequences with condemnation. It's a big mistake. When you face consequences, and those consequences are hard, and you have to bear them daily, and they never go away, that is not condemnation. That is just the consequences. It's just the consequences of your choices and my choices. All right? It's not condemnation. There's people who go through life thinking God's mad at them, God's angry at them, God's punishing them because of something they did 20, 30, 40 years ago. When the fact it is, it's just the consequences of their decision, their behavior, their action, or their lack of action. Some people have consequences. Some parents never discipline their children. And they have to live with kids that grow up and they're a mess. And they're still a mess in their 20s, still a mess in their 30s, they're still a mess in their 40s, still a mess in their 50s. They never have any discipline or character to make it through life. So it can not only be actions, it can be a lack of action that could cause us consequences. The Bible says here, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So that is what this word here means when it says inevitable. Inevitable. Now we can go through life. You can be a full-blown atheist and say, God has no effect, but you're wrong. God is in every place beholding the good and the evil. Did you know God will reward lost people if they do good things? If they raise their children right, their children will turn out good. God will bless them. You know, there's lost people. I get information from this organization called the Tithing Foundation, a bunch of lost people that promote tithing. And they have all these testimonials from unsaved people about how much tithing works. And so they encourage people to tithe the churches and charitable organizations and so on and so forth. The Bible says Cornelius' prayers came up as a memorial to God and the alms that he gave to the poor. God blessed him. Reaping and sowing, sowing and reaping. It works for the lost, it works for the saved, both in the negative and in the positive. If lost people do bad things, they can expect inevitably that there will be consequences. If saved people do bad things, inevitably there will be consequences. We can choose our own behavior, our own actions, or our own lack of actions. We have a free will. We can do whatever we please, but we cannot choose the consequences. Verse 8 says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Last week, we passed the 30th anniversary of a word that was introduced into the English language that we had never heard before. It was 30 years ago, I believe, last Friday, for the first time ever, this word was used on a news broadcast. 30 years, that's all. The word was AIDS. It's only been around for 30 years. AIDS, the disease that is produced by HIV. Since that time in this world, 30 million, who knows how many before they discovered what the problem was. But since that time, 30 million human beings have died of AIDS disease. There are 200 million viruses that produce HIV, the HIV virus. 200 million of those can fit on the head of a pin. One of them in your body will kill you. It's a death sentence. 200 million on the head of a pin. Just one will kill you. 30 million have died. 34 million more have been infected. 70% of all of those who have died of AIDS disease or are infected are gay men. Now, with that in mind, turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Romans, chapter number 1. The word consequences is not found in the Bible. There is a different word that is used for consequences in our King James Bible. Anybody off the top of your head know what it is? Wait. Recompense. Wages is good also. Recompense is the Bible word for consequences. It's used many times in the Bible, 19 times, sometimes positive, sometimes negative, just like the verse we just read. Here's a negative one. In Romans 1 and verse 27, it says, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly," that means perverted, "and receiving in themselves that consequence, that recompense of their error which was meet or fitting for that behavior." Notice the word recompense there. The Bible says if any one of you want to choose to engage in that kind of behavior, that's your business. Probably nobody can stop you in this day and age. But you cannot choose the consequences of that behavior. That is up to God. That is inevitable, and that is incalculable. Turn over to Deuteronomy 32 and verse 35. I want to show you the first time the word consequences or recompense is used in the Scriptures. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 35. It says this, "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste." Notice it talks about vengeance, recompense, calamity, the things which come upon them. But notice it's all God's business, verse 35. "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense or consequences." So what they're teaching us here in RU, this is not something Steve Currington just made up in his mind. He worded it well, but he based these principles on the Scriptures, the Bible. You and I cannot choose the consequences. Vengeance belongs to God. Consequences belong to God. You can do whatever you want. You can behave however you want, but you can't choose the consequences. That judgment is God's. For example, I have the free will tonight to take the plastic card in my pocket and go out and run up an astronomical amount of debt, and not a person in this room could stop me. It's called a credit card. Couldn't stop me. All right? But the consequences, trying to pay that back, and trying to keep up on all of the interest rate, and that thing can be as high as 23.99%. It's immoral. It's what the Bible calls usury. I can do that. We have men in RU and chapel who have gotten DWIs in their past. Well, they chose to drink, chose to get drunk, chose to drive that way, but they got caught. Now they don't have licenses. They have to walk, ride bikes, rely on people to give them rides, and wait for their names to clear. How long? Who knows? That makes every other aspect of their life very difficult in a mobile society. Turn to Isaiah 59:18. Isaiah 59:18. It says this, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So there's the one verse where the word appears twice, recompense, consequences. And notice this is all God's business. According to their deeds, in other words, we can do whatever we want. Accordingly, he will repay recompenses in the hands of God. And it is inevitable. It is inevitable. I remember a couple young people, they were about 15 or 16 at the time, long time ago, probably 20 years ago now. I remember visiting them on my bus route, and I went in the house, and the parents weren't home. There was a girl there and a boy there. The girl hardly had any clothes on. The boy was all over. And I rebuked them for their behavior. They snickered at me. They laughed at me. And I don't know what possessed me to say this. I've never said it to anyone since. It was the only time I ever felt led to say this. But I pointed my finger at them both on the couch, and I said, "You two are going to hate each other someday." Shortly after he got her pregnant, and they began to fight and argue, and their whole life was just filled with confusion. Their minds were going a million directions, and now the parents of the boy wanted to kill him. The parents of the girl wanted to kill the boy. And the parents of the boy wanted to defend him, and so on and so forth, and that thing turned out to be one ugly mess. And finally, the girl and the family moved out of state to a different state to raise the child. And you know something? They garnished that young man's wages when he began to work. And we'll garnish his wages till he's 18. And if that kid goes to college, they'll garnish his wages till he's 21. He has since remarried another woman and has three children by her. But every time he gets his paycheck, part of it is gone to that girl in a different state. It was incalculable to him when I rebuked him. I didn't know anything. I was just a stupid pastor in town, just trying to ruin their fun, just trying to keep them from having fun. That's all I do. That's what they thought. For the first time since that time, I talked to him about a week ago. I don't think there's any help, a chance of helping him in this area, but I hope he'll turn back to God. Another young man I used to talk to, and again, I was just the old fuddy-duddy pastor in town that didn't want anyone to have any fun. Got a girl pregnant. Garnished his wages. Got another girl pregnant. Garnish her wages, his wages. And now part of his paycheck, in other words, what they do, what we mean, is that every time he works and he gets a paycheck, they automatically take out a portion, send it to the one lady, take out another portion, send it to the other lady. You know, he's found that when he shares that with any other girl he's ever met, none of them want to marry him. Imagine that. Incalculable. He never thought it would cost him that much to have a few minutes of pleasure. Never thought it would cost him that much. And a playboy used to come to our church, and finally I had to ask him not to come anymore. Back in the 80s. I told this story before, and I just feel when I tell it, I hope it'll help somebody. He'd be fooling around with the girls in town because he was so cool, so handsome, so good looking. And I rebuked him. I tried to get him saved. I couldn't. I finally asked him, you can't attend this church behaving like that. It's fornication. It's wrong. Lost track of him completely until I was asked to go see him in the hospital. I've told you this before, and I've gone into his room. Before I went in the room, there was a big sign that says quarantine. And I wasn't allowed to go in. I had to put a smock on. I had to put a hairnet over my head. Eye shield on my eyes. Mask on my face. Gloves on my hands. Footies on my feet. I had to shuffle in there to see his emaciated body laying, 27 years of age, hospital bed. So he saw me and told him who I was, he began to cry. And I believe I was able to lead him to Christ on his deathbed. He died a couple days later at 27. I did his funeral. He didn't look like a playboy that day. We can choose to use drugs, but we cannot choose what it will do to our minds or our bodies. We can choose to drink alcohol, but we cannot choose the effect it will have on our body. You know, we hear about the French having such strong hearts. Did you know the French have more liver disease than any country on the face of the earth? They never tell you that. They say, drink wine for your heart. It'll strengthen your heart. But you need a liver to exist, too. Find other ways to strengthen your heart. Tobacco. You can choose to use tobacco, but you cannot choose the consequences it'll have on your body. I had always quoted the statistic for tobacco was that on average it takes 6 years off of a person's normal life. Cigarettes, cigars. But there's a commercial on the radio that I'm hearing now that says 20. I don't know. I don't know which is accurate. There is no telling what pornography can have on the effect on the mind of a person. No telling whatsoever. A person's mind can absolutely snap. A person's mind can absolutely become, the Bible says, reprobate. In Romans 1, 28, we were just reading 27. The next verse says, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Of absolutely perverted behavior. We hear in the news constantly about people who have achieved political office, religious offices, teachers in school, and then they get caught in this behavior, or this is on their laptop or whatever, and we say to ourselves, what in the world was this person thinking? They weren't going to get caught. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Now they have to live with embarrassment the rest of their life. They've probably lost the trust of their wives. They've lost credibility with their kids. And the thing that's incalculable about that is how many people could they have influenced for good that they'll never influence again for good? And then the good that they would have done never gets done. The people they would have influenced are never influenced. It's incalculable. Two men that have preached in this church over the years are heroin addicts today. Good preachers. Both lost their wives. Their marriages fell apart. Started with a little drink, a little joint, a little smoking pot, led to using heroin. Somebody told me about one of them just recently and said he just, when you see him, he just shakes like this all the time. Tremendous preacher. Incalculable. How many people, if he'd have stayed close to God, could he still be influencing for good? But now he'll never influence. And then they could have influenced someone for good. And they could have. It could have gone on for generations, his influence, but it's all shot now. It's all gone. Gambling. Can't stop you from doing that. But losing the entire paycheck, losing the trust of your wife or the trust of your husband or the trust of your loved ones. I knew a man in this area whose business I loved to frequent. I used to love to go to his business. Take my wife there and kids. Went there one day, it was closed. Such a good business, great businessman. Found out what happened. It's gambling addiction. He lost it all. Lost it all. Fornication. The disease. We talked about 200 million viruses that cause AIDS disease can fit on the head of a pin. We think of the sin of adultery. A person can choose to do that, but that so often leads to divorce and broken trust, just shattered families. The Bible is a book, and I'll close here in a minute. The Bible is a book that is just filled with stories of both negative and positive examples of people reaping what they sowed. We talked earlier about Adam and Eve. Incalculable. The decision they made. And I'm sure at the moment it was like, what's the big deal? I'm going to eat a piece of fruit from this tree. Who's it going to harm? Who's it going to harm if I do this? But it's been incalculable, the suffering. Achan, Joshua 7, just stole a garment, piece of gold, cost him his life, his wife's life, and his family. They all died because of it. Ananias and Sapphira, a little lie. That's all. They lied to God, though. They lied to the Holy Spirit. And they both died that day. Samson. And his womanizing. David. Did you ever study the consequences of David's sin with Bathsheba, his adultery, and how it affected his credibility with all of his kids after that? He never had any credibility to tell them to live a moral, pure life. And as a result, ultimately, that is what split the kingdom. His son Solomon had 1,000 wives and concubines. And God said, I'm going to split his kingdom. Then Rehoboam and Jeroboam, remember them? I'm not going to listen to the old timers. What do they know? I'm going to listen to the young people. Rehoboam, that's what split the kingdom. Caused a lot of suffering in Israel and Judah after that. How about the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah and their behavior? You think maybe they said, it's all right as long as no one else gets hurt. Do you think they ever said that in that town? And everybody got hurt. How about the inhabitants of Noah's day? It was just their hearts. The thoughts of men's hearts was only evil. Who cares about your heart? I'm not affecting anybody by what I think in my heart. That's what they thought. And the deluge came. How about Israel and their idolatry? Just think of the little boys and the little girls that, no fault of their own, were hauled off on a 500-mile trek to Babylon, made slaves, and many of them were tortured and killed by Assyrians, Babylonians. Why? Because the adults of the day said, we don't care what the prophet Jeremiah says. We're not going to repent. We're not going to go into captivity. Don't listen to him, kids. He doesn't know what he's saying. Judah went into captivity for the same. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 3:17, the Bible says this. Verse 16, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I challenge every one of you to look at that in its context, and it's talking to the church. I'm sure it applies to the world, but it's talking to the church in its context. If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. He wouldn't say that about the lost. Which temple ye are, he wouldn't say that about the lost. God does not exist. He does not live inside of the body of an unbeliever. In its context, it's talking about the brothers, sisters in the Lord. We've got to watch our behavior. We've got to watch our behavior. We can choose our behavior. We can do whatever we want, but we can't choose the consequences. They are inevitable and incalculable. I consider myself just a little person with a little ministry, but what if I decided to go off and live in sin tonight? Can you see the domino effect that would have in this area? People that would hurt? It would be incalculable. Just the number of people my little life would influence. This is why I need your prayers. And you need mine. We're taught to pray one for another. We're taught to pray one for another. And finally, in Psalm 9 and verse number 16, it says these words, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. By the judgment which he executeth. That doesn't mean we go around being the judge of everybody. Some people suffer for sins directly. Some people suffer for sins indirectly. Some people get cancer not because of anything they did wrong, but just because the world's cursed. Everybody's affected by the curse. Some people get killed by drunks, drivers, not because they did anything wrong. Just that drunk drivers lose their discernment. They lose their ability to drive. And they run off and hit somebody. Kill somebody. We need to separate from these things. And this number 9 right here, about the consequences being inevitable, and especially this word tonight, incalculable. None of us knows when we choose to do something how much it's going to cost us. This ought to motivate us not to do those things. All these are good, but man, this one really hits me home right in the eyes. Number 9. Incalculable. And calculate what might happen if we do something. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help me, Lord. Father, these 10 principles, and this one especially, ought to help us, Lord. It ought to help us to say, I can't do this. I cannot get involved in this behavior. I can't do this action. I can't do what everyone else is doing in the world, all the other young people or adults. Maybe they're all doing it, but there's going to be inevitably consequences for their decision. Maybe physical, maybe mental, maybe emotional consequences. Maybe family will be affected, marriage, finances will be affected. Especially spirituality will be affected, and we won't be the witnesses and testimonies we ought to be. God, help us. Help me, Lord. I really pray for your help tonight. Lord, this flesh is weak. I pray for the grace of God on me and on all that are here. And I pray that especially the young people would, Lord, learn some wisdom. We're not the wisest people around at this church, but your word says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. I pray all these young people would stay in church, and I'm so glad they're here tonight. I pray somehow whatever we heard tonight would really fall down deep into our hearts and our actions and our ears. And Lord, that we would separate ourselves from evil and touch not the unclean thing. And Lord, bless any decisions made now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to page 207 and close.